Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 261, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it is, of course, Tuesday, November 1st, 2022. Yeah. Miles is wearing a wig and not nodding wearing a wig. Along. Not wearing a wig. Miles has
I told you I was getting that hair transplant, and I kept it under wraps as I was wearing the cap. So I could do the big hit you all with the big reveal with my beautiful blonde hair.
It's an amazing look, Miles, you know, and just that. What was it, something that had to do with your Halloween costume last night? And you're like still rocking it?
Yes, I am still rocking it. If you could tell, I'm also wearing a shirt that says Ethnically Ambiguous. You should get your Ethnically Ambiguous merch. Okay, shout out to the show. But I realized when I wear the wig with it, I look...
The blonde wig.
Yeah, I look like Filipino Julian Assange or something.
What is November 1st? It's All Saints Day? Oh, is that what we were all celebrating?
Aren't you a good Catholica over there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's the day that we celebrate all of them. Like every day, you know, I'm celebrating my favorite, you know, top three saints. But, you know, this is the day
name
for
them.
All of them. The deep cuts. My top three?
Who are your top three saints?
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Oh, you love animals.
John. Saint John, you gotta be one of those.
Hell yeah, and baptized our Savior Jesus Christ. Who else? Who else you got?
And Xavier, I think, is my what's it called?
Francis
name?
Xavier. I mean, there's a few now.
Francis Xavier is my dad's not confession name. What's it called?
Confederate.
The one that you
name.
Get.
Oh.
Confederate.
It's your Confederate name.
Francis Xavier Lee, his favorite Confederate general. Anyway, those are my top three, but today is the day for all the saints to party.
Yeah.
My name is Jack O'Brien.
Wait, hold on. There's more. There's more than that. There's so...
What?
I just want to point out, there are so many fucking... There's National Authors Day, Biologic Coordinators Day, Calzone Day, Cinnamon Day, Deep Fried Clams Day, Family Litter... Dude, this is like... It's an inexhaustible list right now. I mean, that's
wow.
Like half of them. Yeah.
They were all waiting to... They were saving up because they didn't want to tangle with All Hallows Eve.
Exactly.
As we call it around here. All right. Well, shout out to authors, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dead Gratos O'Brien. A little leftover Treehouse of Horrors spare nickname.
Yes.
Even if my toes were dead and gray, that would not be the thing that people noticed about them. They would instead be like, those are very long toes. that person has fingers at the tip of their feet. And then they would be like, oh, yeah, and they're clearly dead. But, you know. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Mr. Miles Gray, because when he walks by anybody, they say, hey, you smell like blunts again, a.k.a. Grayler Swift. Because with this blonde wig, our guest was like, hey, are you Taylor Swift? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Sure.
That might work.
Let's do it.
Let me see where this goes. Yeah, for sure. Shout out to...
Well, speaking of our guest...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented comedy writer and actor who wrote some of my favorite comedy scripts I've ever read in his time at Cracked. You may remember him as the handsome fellow from After Hours. He is currently writing for American Dad! ! You can hear him on the podcast he co-hosts with Daniel O'Brien, Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. And you might have heard him on yesterday's episode of Trends. It's Soren Bowie!
Soren!
Hello! That's like the first introduction, Jack, that you've ever given me that wasn't just, oh, and Soren's here.
I know.
Wow.
I forgot that used to be my bit. I fucked up. It's been too long, man.
You gave me a genuine one. That was
I know. It's been too long, and I'm actually excited to see you for once. And so it's just, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder of a Soren Bowie. How are you, Soren?
I'm great. Well, so I got COVID for a while, and so I wasn't great for a little bit, and now I'm great because now
I
can go wherever I want.
What do you mean you had COVID for a while? Like longer than you thought you should have?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant I had it for like 3 months, you know.
I had like the bad 3 days to start, and then I had like that recovery period, but you still can't go anywhere. You can't be outside. I was wearing an N95 around my house. Eating all my meals in a little dark room and stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody else in my family got it.
That's amazing.
I know.
Man, they're really good at avoiding you. That's incredible.
It was the N95, probably, Jack. Come on. That's what did it.
I've had a cold for like a week. It's like I'm taking like all these supplements, medicine, and like doing the things I need to. But it's just, instead of keeping me from having a cold, it's just made it like a very slow boil cold. And my voice sounds like I have COVID, which is not great because now everybody's just like, oh, you're the sick sounding guy. We're going to avoid the hell out of you.
Yeah. How are your avocados?
How are my avocados?
No, Soren.
Oh, yeah, Soren, you have an avocado tree.
This is how long it has been, Jack. I've moved. I moved right before the pandemic.
Wow.
Oh, my God. We don't even know each other anymore.
And so I don't have avocados anymore.
Yeah.
Got...
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I just embarrassed myself.
But it also means we don't have rats, which is great.
Yeah, because you were fighting those off with the avocados.
Get one with the other. It's true. Or you get to do the thing where you get all these half-nibbled avocados that fall down. You're like, oh,
it's the worst.
Local rats.
Anyone who has an avocado tree now, I'm like, oh, you poor asshole. Because
Why so mean, Soren?
They're so messy. They're so gross. Like every time they fall, you get it in your grass. And then you've got squirrels come along and like nibble it. And they like to perch up on somewhere. So if you have any sort of patio furniture or a deck or anything, They just sit up there and just make a mess of it. And you can't get avocado off of anything. It's a bizarre texture.
Yeah. You just have to buy everything avocado color. All your furniture. Yeah. The squirrels, I've realized that I have done a bad job of setting boundaries with the squirrels that live around our house because they're just getting so aggressive. Like one earlier this year came into our house.
Wow.
And was just like walking around and like jumping on the furniture and then just like got away. We just like kind of shoot him out. And now
like doing the Conor McGregor walk like through your like house.
Exactly.
Just, like, chest out.
Just alphaing my ass, you know? And then now they're like, we went through 3 rounds of pumpkins on our front porch and they have no fear of me. I guess like once they've like entered my home and I was just like, buddy, why don't you get out of here? They're not scared of me anymore.
That's what
so
you
like,
said?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't call him buddy. They immediately
they're
gonna
be wearing, they're going to be wearing your pajamas and putting your kids to bed tonight.
Throwing the football on the lawn with my kids when I come home from work.
Hey, listen, is your wife here?
Great tight spiral, kid. So proud of you. Oh man, that Jack's
here. Squirrel was chewing a hole in my pumpkin, like scooping out the seeds, like popped his head out when I came out, realized it was me, and then just like went back to work.
Oh, it's just you.
Wow. Yeah,
it's just me.
Yeah, on our it's block, like we've seen the squirrels eat the faces off of a lot of the jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metal.
Good vibes.
But I live on a street now that doesn't have street lights. It's like this rare street that's very, very dark. We have owls that live on our street. And so the squirrels are terrified of the owls. We also have red-tailed hawks around us. And so the other day, Colleen, my wife, saw a hawk in the middle of the street with just like a squirrel pin under its talons in the middle of the street as cars are going by. And this, the hawk is just sort of sitting there, like trying to decide what to do at this point.
Yeah.
And you're like rooting for, like, go hawk. Yeah buddy.
Go, please. Yeah. One less squirrel. Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell Jack.
Do you know, the staircase? Do you know the?
Of course.
Yeah. Do you, are you a subscriber to the owl theory?
Oh, I love the owl theory. There are owl feathers in her hand.
Yeah. There are owl feathers fucking everywhere. It's definitely the owl.
There was also a neighbor said that they had been attacked by an owl, like not 3 days before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which is all to say, actually, I would be worried about anybody else in that situation. But I think owls know better than to fuck with an alpha like Soren Boone, you know.
they're terrible. It's not like a cute, we have barn owls. So they make that screech. Have you ever heard a barn owl before?
Oh, yeah.
There's a noise in the night that's like, I'm not going out there.
Right. Very spooky, very appropriate for yesterday, since this episode's coming out on November 1st. But
yes. Hey, look, All Saints Day is also spooky. And again, shout out to Anna, whose theory about the staircase I subscribe to, which is he definitely killed that one woman in Germany. This one, he just got caught up, you know, and it was just a bad look. Yeah. See, he got away with the first one. And so karma had to do a make good and be like, hey, man, we got to get you with this one.
Yeah, it's like one of those like stories from the beginning of Magnolia, where it's just the guilt from the first one finally catches up to him.
Right.
All right, Soren, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We are talking about crowd crushes, unfortunately, because, you know, the standard narratives of it being a stampede have broken out. That's the way it was told to me before I read the news story, that there was a stampede in Korea that killed over 150 people, I believe. And that's actually not what happened here, what tends to ever happen in big crowd deaths like this. So we're just going to talk about, like, you know, how those things happen and like the media narrative that kind of misses the point. We're going to talk about Twitter's blue check marks. That's on everyone's mind because they're apparently going to be for sale for the first time. But
yay,
maybe not actually for the first time. And I believe our guest today is a blue check mark. So we can talk to him about how he bought his.
Yeah.
You know,
it's easy. When you're made of money, it's easy.
We're going to talk about pheromone products because those are making a sweep through TikTok and are probably full of shit. All of that, plenty more. But first, Soren, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
So I found this just this morning. I was like, oh, this is perfect. In my search history, I have morning finger pain.
Morning finger pain.
Describe the pain. Is this some of you're experiencing?
Okay. It's like, in my middle finger, when I wake up in the morning, it feels like it's jammed almost. Mm. It feels like just like tensing
Stiff?
Like flexing it hurts a little bit. Uh-huh. Relaxing it even, like getting it up to like that full stretch
right.
hurts. And I was like, it wasn't going away. And so it's like, you know, I'm 40 years old now. And there are just things.
You're 40.
So you admit it. You admit that, though.
I'm admitting. Yeah. Wow. I mean,
admit it.
It's okay to be 40.
You're right.
And there's just like things. Like I got a shoulder thing that I just sort of live with now. And I was like, it's just another thing. And I was like, well, maybe I can look it up and see what it is. And so I was looking up morning finger pain, just like I look up all my ailments. And it could be tendonitis. Yay. You can fix that. Or it could be, what's that thing called where your fingers get all old and
arthritis.
Yeah. Could be arthritis. Yeah, yeah. Like the old people
incurable.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then you're just done if you got arthritis.
Wait, so, but why the morning?
I don't know.
Like what? It goes away throughout, it works itself out, basically?
Oh, Miles, yeah, you're so young, so naive. Everything hurts in the morning once you hit 40, man. It's like whole body.
Really?
I threw my back out this morning just like making breakfast for my kids. Like it just seized up. I was like, oh no. Yeah.
You're like greasing. Don't do that. Like the wheels get greased throughout the day somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, moving around. But in the mornings, it's like super painful.
Nope.
So it could be those two things, or if narratives from TV shows have taught me anything, there's probably an alternate personality that when you go to sleep takes over and emerges. Starts doing things while you're asleep with your middle finger and shoulder. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's spooky and scary, and you should start videotaping yourself when you go to sleep.
Oh, I do.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Love watching those. Yeah.
And your kids are going to be like, the man in the tree came back last night to visit me. And you're like, what again?
Is that just Yellow Jackets or is that? I feel like I've seen that other places where like a split.
I feel like it's a trope. But the lady in the tree is definitely Yellow Jackets.
Oh, Fight Club. Yeah. Fight Club is.
Yeah.
Also,
in that sense too. Yeah.
We're just spoiling shit left and right. What is something you think is overrated, Soren?
Jute rugs.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know jute rugs?
Yeah. Real sturdy. You could fucking, that's indoor, that's outdoor. Do it all. Yeah.
I hate them. I mean, they're aesthetically, I get, if you look at through magazines and stuff where they've got like, hey, here's a good looking living room. A lot of times they'll have a jute rug and it's basically a bunch of tied together old ropes. It's the most uncomfortable rug in the world. And you can't lie down on it. You can't, even walking on it is precarious.
Right.
It's like walking around on wicker, basically, with bare feet. And I don't understand them. I don't like them. And I have one in my guest bedroom, and I hate it.
Wow. So that's an act of hostility towards your guest immediately by having a jute
rug
in there.
Good luck getting to the bed.
Why don't you sit over there on the jute rug?
They're like, walk on that with bare feet, tough guy.
And Soren is an alpha, so he always makes people sit on the floor when they come over to visit him. Well,
but your rug's so bumpy. Oh, what, your little butt can't handle it?
Huh. They're also very messy. They shed. When you lift them up underneath them, they're just like, it's just slivers of hair.
It's like I think the dog shaved that morning or something.
Yeah, they're terrible.
The only context like it works is outside. Because you're like, it's basically a bunch of hay. So, but like it has like a square as if it were a rug, and you don't feel bad when like there's like dirt and leaves and shit on it because it already is dirt and leaves. That's when I'm like, okay, you can't get mad at a jute rug outside getting destroyed. But inside walking on one is very like, it's like walking on a loofah.
I would add on to that any sort of pillows for couches that like look like they're wrapped in a burlap sack. People try and get like a lot of different textures going on in a room. And they want like, you can't have all the pillows be comfortable. That's insane. Yeah. Like some of them have to feel like
shit.
Yeah. Have to feel like it's a penance to use them.
I want to evoke like people trying to do penance for their sins in the Middle Ages by wearing burlap sacks when you sit on my couch.
I can't force my guests to wear a hay shirt while we watch a movie. All right. Well, then how about this pillow instead?
Yeah.
It'll exfoliate your whole back.
I feel like it's also part of the movement of people like serving drinks out of like those like jarring, like the
Mason jars.
Mason jars.
Yeah, Mason jars. Yeah.
Oh.
Like that idea of like, we're just humble farm folk around here.
It's like, no, glasses exist. I don't know where to put my lips with these ridges. It's confusing.
Yeah.
Oh, love a Mason jar.
Yeah, it is also a good way to note your allegiance to the Masons in a subtle way.
You know, exactly.
The pyramid with the eye above it, above your fireplace might not work.
It used to be you had to just hide your hand in your shirt pocket like that in photos to let people know you were a Mason. And now you can just bring out the jars.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was like a Mason gang sign until recently.
It was put your...
See dudes like back in the day, like if they wore a coat and it looked like they were reaching for something. Like just to have their hand half in there, that was like, yo, I'm with the shits. I'm a Mason.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes ever on Cracked, I think it was a photo caption written by Jason Pargin, it was a painting of Napoleon doing that. And it was something to the effect of like Napoleon was doing that because he had to hold his dick up like so big. What is something that you think is underrated?
I don't do this as often anymore now that I have children, but going to the bathroom at a party.
Okay.
I love stepping away from, I guess I do. Like, so with at kids' parties, I can put somebody else in charge of my child and like, I'm alone. Or like at a party, like a house party when I would go to as an adult, you step away from everything. You get to be alone for a second and you can kind of like check in. You've got your mirror. It's just you in the mirror. And like, you can like see how drunk am I actually? Or like, how am I actually feeling? And you've got, and that time is yours. Like people have an expectation of how long it takes to go to the bathroom. And you, that's all yours. Like, you, that's just, you have this cushion of time where like everyone's like, yeah, he's got to go. You got to go. Your hands are tied. Like you have to be in there.
Yeah.
And it's just your time. Oh, no matter how gross the bathroom is, it's just me. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. I have so many of like my memories of like my youth partying. So much of my memories, like when I would just think back, are being in the bathroom, looking at a wall wobbling. And be like, yo,
what's happening? Okay.
And I'm like, oh no, the countdown has begun to browning out.
It's like a beta test of going to a second location. You're walking into a new room that's like new lighting, different music, and you're like, oh no, things are worse. Things are worse here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long? Because my concern is always that I'm going to stay in too long, enjoy the solitude too long. And then people are like, what the fuck is he doing in there?
Yeah, you just said that's your time. What are the limits that you would define, Soren? You're like, that's yours. Like, don't go by society's rules.
I feel like 3 minutes is, that's like, I think you've got a big window between peeing and snooping through like medicine cabinets and stuff and then taking a shit.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're not drifting into the shit territory, like you have that time where it's like, 3 minutes, it's just mine.
And I like to go in there just to confuse people and turn the shower on, they know that.
Is he taking a shower?
Yeah. No, I'm taking a shit with the shower running. Big difference. I like it to be, I like the steam to create a 3D experience, so to speak.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And there was a tragedy in Seoul, Korea, a crowd crush, 150 young people died. And in the aftermath of these, I feel like, you know, with the Astroworld one, it was, I think the bizarre conspiracy theories were extra quick. And they were like, it had something to do with Satan and Satan worshiping. But
right.
Usually the thing you hear is that it's a stampede. That people are like kind of trampled under a stampede. And it's a really kind of consistent misunderstanding or like misreporting of what actually happens, because it almost always has to do with fluid dynamics and not anybody in the crowd doing something violent. Like they
right.
So the New York Times article about this on Sunday, like that was in the print version, like they had a quote that was, later, a group of young men made a hard shove down the hill, chanting, push, push. And that was like kind of it stands out because the only real description of anyone like doing anything, all the other descriptions are people being like, we don't know what happened. We have no idea. Like, no, like nothing seemed off. And then like there was some people were claiming there must have been a gas leak or something. But first of all, it's like weird. A group of young, like, how did they source the fact that a group of young men, like specifically in this massive like wave of people, was doing anything in particular? But the truth is that generally these have more to do with fluid dynamics. And like basically when crowd density rises above 4 people per square meter, and especially 2-6 or more, people get pressed together so tightly that they begin to move together as one unit with waves of pressure and release.
Yeah.
And like, it's scary.
I've been in crowds.
Have you guys ever been in a crowd like that?
Yeah. I've been in crowds that get like that. And it'll be like as a show's about to start at a concert or getting out, and people are trying, like a festival, you're trying to like just people are trying to move very quickly from thing to thing. And it always is the thing where when you're in it, you'll be like, damn, like you're shoulder to shoulder. And like you're saying, you're almost like, I'm moving because everything else is moving, not because I have the space to move or anything. It's like, I'm being pushed from behind. And usually you'll hear people at one point go, yo, stop pushing, stop pushing. Like you feel that there's always this thing where people feel that they're being pushed because of, like you're saying, this, like, it's like watching traffic of it, like the pressure building up and releasing like an accordion kind of. Yeah, it's definitely freaky when you're in a situation like that, but never like at the scale of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this Business Insider article that they released after using the word stampede in early reports, but they were like, yeah, no, we interviewed this person, Keith Still, a UK crowd science and risk analyst expert, who said, I've not seen any instances of the cause of mass fatalities being a stampede. People don't die because they panic. They panic because they are dying. So right. You might hear people scream like push, push, because they're like trying not to be like suffocated by
right from the other side
crowd. But it's like the people in the back who are, you know, maybe hundreds of feet away from anyone who's in real danger might like just do a small shove to like keep their balance or something, and that builds up this like wave of people that can like have a multiplying effect. And it really just like comes down to the people who are involved are in a no-win situation when you get that many people into that small a space, and there's nothing that they can do. But the way we try and make sense of it, because of like how, you know, I've heard it explained as like America is individualistic, so we can't like make sense of anything that we can't like blame on an individual person. You could also, like, I've heard people say it's the English language, and the way that the English language is structured, like it makes it so that there has to be someone doing an act. There, like, we rarely just talk about something happening. It's almost always like someone doing the thing, but it's very misleading. And it also lets the organizers off the hook. Like the, you know, when people try to sue over this, it's almost always thrown out because of this misconception. That
did you guys watch the Woodstock documentary?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
The Woodstock 99 one?
Yeah. In it, they talk about, it's called Trainwreck. And they talk about, they interview somebody who was on stage. And like people who like perform at these things, they see that like fluidity of the crowd. And they talk about how when crowds start to get like really riled up, you'll just see like a group of people in the crowd. All of a sudden, the whole group just moves to the right 6 feet, like out of nowhere. And they don't know how it happened or anything. But from the stage, you can see it happen where it's just like everybody all of a sudden is over. And they'll kind of like get picked up essentially and pushed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people just get, I don't know. I always picture it as like somebody getting stuck underneath and then getting trampled to death. But I guess that's not really it.
That can happen too. But I think the real danger is when people get so compressed, you literally are just being squeezed out.
Yeah.
You're just being compressed to the point you can't even breathe. And then you're just stuck.
Like medieval war where like in the middle of it, everybody is just that you can't even do anything.
Right. And you bring up the organizers too, Jack, because like the cops were saying in Seoul, they admitted that they were there, but they weren't there for crowd control. Like the 130 some officers that were there just to look out for criminal activity. So they were like, we actually had there's no real guidebook, like according to like the police force, to like how to, like what to do for crowd management. Cause the other thing they point to, their excuse was also there's also no clear organizer. But the fact is, you knew like this event has been growing over the last few years. And this was like, especially people were there because this is like the first time there weren't any COVID restrictions in place. So it was going to be turn up city. Like, and they said that metro station, 130,000 people like passed through there that night.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were like, you could do so many things, like have the metro station closed, so people have to go to the next one and like walk through rather than just like letting like hundreds of like 100,000 people just bleed out into this one very small area and just be like, yeah, let's throw our hands up. I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be viewed like there is a wave of water, like people have said, like it's similar to a tsunami, and like that's really how they need to treat. If there are that many people going through a turnstile to an event in like a small location, like that needs to be how it's treated, because the fluidity of it is kind of mind-boggling. But people talk about like having shoes sucked off their feet because of like just how much pressure and movement, and suddenly you're like 30 feet to your right and like you haven't done anything other than be like picked up off your feet.
Right.
But it just needs to be a crowd control, a like human engineering like issue, and not treated as, you know, something where the cops are just there to prevent pickpocketers. And like that, there just need to be very clear rules in everybody's mind of like, okay, this looks like it's going to be more than 2 to 4 people like per square meter. We need to just stop people from coming here.
You know,
like set up a blockade or something.
I think about like early when I was a kid and I would go to punk shows or something, and I was like scared going in there. But then you'd be in the crowd and like everyone would be like pushing each other and you get knocked down and other people would just pick you up. And I was like, oh, it's safe. Like everybody has this figured out. Like this somehow everyone who goes to these already knows how this all works. And this, it's just not true. Like the minute that you hit capacity, no one's in control anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right. It was safe because there was space, you know, for there to be like a mosh pit. And then if you needed to get out, you could get out too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like a compact space for people to go in.
Jack, have you ever been somewhere with your child in a situation like that?
I was at a thing yesterday, like to your point, Miles, about it being like, you know, post pandemic, there is a what's
post,
that?
Yeah, post acknowledging pandemic.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure Miles called it scamdemic, didn't he?
was like, speaking of, you say, because things don't just happen. People do them to us. Oh, you check out my favorite tweet later.
Sorry. Yes. And that's something that I need to be wary of, because we're not post pandemic. We are post a lot of the things that were helping us fight the pandemic and like post shutdowns. But we went to a like fair in our neighborhood that didn't happen for the last 2 years. And it was just absolutely like so jam packed and like all these people in a small setting, like everybody was miserable. Like we were walking up and like parents were like, it's bad there. Like good luck. And I was like, yeah, they're just being fun. Like, and it was right. scary. Like we yeah. left after like 5 minutes because yeah, I think just a lot of people showing up at the same place and not a lot of, like, there's just not this idea that, okay, one person is in charge and if it hits this number, you're done. Like everybody has to like go home or like yeah. you just need to start turning people away.
Right. Yeah, we went to the, when my son was young enough that he was in a stroller, we went to the Women's March and we were like out in this street corner, this intersection basically, where just people started to like swell from each side and it just sort of like pushed into the middle and it became packed enough that people couldn't see the stroller down low.
Wow.
But everyone who's like looking for an empty space, all they see is like this empty space. So
right.
like everybody's trying to move to that space and then they see there's a stroller there. So now it's just like denser and denser. And then
right.
at a certain point, they're like, we're all going to march now. And I was like, that's a bad idea. Like we should not even like, let's just all go our separate ways. Like this is bad. And it was a situation I was helpless in. And I was like, I shouldn't have brought him here. Like this is yeah. a mistake.
Yeah. That's really scary.
Yeah. It just sounds like we have to move past like the idea of like when there's a lot of people there, it's not like, and then some joker is going to trigger a stampede. It's that when there are so many people there,
just
it has to be like second nature. They say, well, we have to figure out how to like alleviate pressure from certain points so we don't have a crush, because yeah. we know this tiny district or wherever this place is going to be, that you figure out what to do for people's safety. And like, yeah, in the, you know, I think in the cases of like Astroworld and Woodstock, it was a lot of that stuff was clearly because of cost cutting, just being like, we don't want to pay that much for security. And then this right. one seems like total just absolute lack of preparation from like the municipality to like understand what it means to have that many people in a space and yeah. then, you know, having a tragedy like that right after.
Yeah. And even going to the explanation of a gas attack is like that, because that's one of the things we can conceive of as like an invisible yeah. killer. But like, that,
like at Astroworld, someone was injecting people.
Right.
And they were going down in the crowd. It's like,
yeah,
no, people were suffocating or going into cardiac arrest because of this right. crush.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Twitter. Elon has taken over and apparently wants users with blue check marks to pay around $20 a month to keep their verification status, lest they be cast aside to the faceless masses with us normies. The blue checks will allegedly have 90 days to subscribe, and the Twitter employees have until November 7th to figure this out or they will be fired, according to Elon Musk. He seems like a cool boss.
Great leader. Genius.
Yeah. I guess they have a thing called Twitter Blue.
Yeah.
Which is like an optional $4.99 a month subscription that unlocks additional features, and they're just going to transition that into a more expensive subscription.
I'm trying to think of what you possibly users. Would pay for. What is it? What does Twitter Blue have? Delete or like?
I don't
edit?
Know if it has
edit tweets.
Or what, yeah, I don't.
I don't even know. It's to the point to where you're like, know. I can't even. Right, exactly. Like, do I need to have Twitter Blue? I don't think so.
No.
But I think it's just a way to be like, it's premium, and then if you're just addicted to that word, you're like, yeah, I got the premium Twitter, I got the Paramount Plus, got it all. But I think the big thing too is just also seeing it's like, oh right, this, because I think a lot of people are like, this guy doesn't really want Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, he
right.
was really trying to avoid it. And now it's like, okay, well, now you got to have this thing be a money-making thing. And that, like, first step is, all right, fire everybody and then make blue check mark $20 a month.
Yeah.
Is that saving money?
Yeah.
Or you can turn a profit like that?
And so Twitter verification was supposed to be about security and rooting out fraud. It was introduced in 2009.
Right.
And it came after Tony La Russa sued the company after a Tony La Russa impersonator account made derogatory jokes about him. And I think they got that scared them. But so, Soren, you do have a blue check mark.
Hell yeah.
And I did notice that, like, around the time that you got the blue check mark, your appearance totally changed. And you just took over. I'd always assumed you just took over somebody else's account, and once they had the blue check mark, it was, you were just a new Soren Bowie, right?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like a new man as soon as I got it. It's like my world changed, kind of things opened up for me.
Yeah.
I'll give you a peek in the back door here, Jack, because I mean, obviously they didn't approve your check mark.
They didn't approve mine because I have been. I have asked for mine since you got yours.
You've applied so many times.
Oh my God.
So it's the things that are different are, especially if you're a writer, is that other writers like immediately will respond to you. Like other blue check, other people who are, they, it's like this legitimacy that you have where they're like, oh, like if you write something to somebody or a reply, then they're like, oh, okay, I'll play this game. Whereas before, like you just ignore everybody else.
Yeah.
And that was nice. But then it also, it made it so that I couldn't fight with anybody. Like it's really dangerous to be like, really get into it with somebody because you're never the good guy in that situation. In any circumstance, it's like, if you don't agree with somebody or you're like, you're going at it with somebody, eventually, inevitably, somebody you know will jump in and be like, hey man, that person's got 150 followers.
Yeah, right.
Just chill out.
You're verified.
Like, why'd you do a deep dive into their YouTube channel that you found of theirs and just totally tore it apart, dude? We get it.
But that is why I'm able to just talk shit about you flagrantly and you won't say anything back to me.
I will never say a thing because I have to pretend I don't know who you are. I don't remember you.
Because I'm and you won't admit to knowing me anywhere except this podcast, which is can be a little unnerving. It can be a little frustrating and it does drive my mania to get my blue check mark approved. But
I do like that even like for you, Sarah, it does feed the idea of like, well, I'm a blue check. And how does that look as I, a blue check, kicking dirt on the downtrodden checklist?
Yeah.
It's
act like you've been there before. Come on.
I'm a star-bellied snitch, man. I will find, though, that there are people who, like Dan O'Brien is a good friend of mine. If Dan tweets at me, I never see it. Like, for whatever reason, they're like, Twitter's like, this is the riffraff. Like, these people who are not blue check, you won't. Like, they just hide some shit that you don't ever see.
Is he not blue checkmarked?
No. He insists on, well, you know, he's like,
now
the guy
I'm starting
who,
to think it's our last name. This is bullshit. Wow. Interesting.
They famously, most, any like McCallahan, anything that's like slightly Irish, they're like, don't do it.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, so obviously, like, the security measure part of it melted away. Like, the Tony La Russa thing, like, he had to throw his case out because the account that he was, like, they're trying to steal my identity was, like, named Tony La Russa, like, what's it called? I'm having...
Like, parody?
Yeah, it was called Tony La Russa parody account, or, like, it said that on the bio, so... Yeah,
right.
It was just old
have
man
a much
not
of a lawsuit.
Understanding internet, basically. But yeah, it became status. It became a thing where the blue checks wouldn't even respond to us. And also, it's like Chester Cheetah has a blue check mark.
Right.
So, like, I'm not sure who was trying to steal Chester Cheetah's account. Or maybe they were. I don't know. That actually makes more sense.
Well, I mean, when you look at that, though, too, like, because you're always like, wait, so how come, like, these Peabody-winning journalists will have blue checks, and then a hot potato chip also has one? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, right, you can, like, you basically can buy your way there, too?
Yeah. There's also, these have already been for sale. Twitter themselves have unofficially sold verified accounts to non-celebrities if they just spend $15,000 over 3 months on advertising on Twitter.
Whoa.
Which I think is a smaller amount of people than you would think since Twitter ads are bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, you're basically giving them 15 grand for nothing.
Right. Well.
Like, I you don't behave, like, in a hostile manner towards ads you see on Twitter. I'm like, get the fuck. Like, whenever I see him, I'm like, dude, I wouldn't even fucking pretend to look at that shit. But also, wow, this is really what Alex Mack, that person who played Alex Mack, looks like now? Huh. Okay.
I'll always hit those three buttons, those little three dots at the top and be like, hide.
Right.
Hide. Yeah. Like, why? Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. No, I just don't like ads. Get it out of here. Get out of my face.
Why? Why, though?
Yeah. They also got in trouble when they verified one of the Charlottesville Nazis in 2017.
Right. Whoops.
So that's, but they just like don't have. It's the same social media problem where they're too vast to police and it just becomes a free for all. And like, there's no way for them to do a consistent policy without like hiring so many people that the site then becomes not profitable. So it's just
I'm fine with them taking away the blue checks from everybody, making it like egalitarian. Because nobody, and what that's essentially what they're doing, because nobody's going to buy a $20 check.
That's what most people are saying.
And if they do buy a $20 a month check mark like that, fuck that person.
Because then you're going to look like,
it becomes like a sign that you're the worst.
Because before you could have a blue check and be like, oh, I don't know. Like they offered it to me. You know, like back in the day, they're like, yeah, like they started, like my manager figured it out. But now like when you have it, they're like, oh, so you paying $20 to Elon for that.
Yeah. Desperation is just reeking from it.
Yeah.
And so, and people know too, are smart enough on Twitter to know that if you look at somebody's account, you look at how many followers they have versus how many they follow. And that's like a good indication of whether this person is the right person, like the person you're looking for. if there's any question about whether this is like a parody account, you just look at like, oh, okay, how many people are they following? How many people are following
them?
I see that last number is higher than the first number. That's a good sign.
I think the fucked up part about all of this is that like so many people are not critical enough in their analysis at looking at anything on the internet that they're just going to assume blue check equals truth. And there's going to be a ton of bullshit out there from these blue checks that most of the time you'd be like, how the fuck did this person get verified from the Epic Times or whatever? Like, what the fuck is
Epoch Times?
It's going to be all like just a ton of like misinformation fest. I mean, that's why like everyone's just looking at this now and be like, wow, okay, like the use of racial slurs has exploded exponentially. And he's spreading like fucking these fucked up homophobic conspiracy theories and then deleting him. And he's like,
is it possible?
I know what I'm doing.
The blue check story is meant to detract from that, which is like a much bigger story, which is that, Twitter's way worse. That he's also doing some really terrible, he's tweeting some really terrible things about like Nancy Pelosi and shit like that on there.
Right. I think.
You know that everyone's going to talk about the blue check thing because the blue checks are going to influence everybody else on Twitter. And that's all they want to talk about.
Right. But the one thing I feel like most news outlets have been pretty consistent with some version of like, damn, Elon's first week's a fucking real fuck up or some version of that. Maybe not so aggressive, but pointing out it's like he's like fired everyone as it stands right now. It's like just announced that he fired the entire board. And now it's just him right now as he figures out what to do with it. So I think most things are pointing to like he's not sure what to do with it and he's making things so much fucking worse right now. But hey, Jack Dorsey's working on his own shit now. Blue Sky, whatever the fuck it's called. So
Blue Sky, whatever the fuck it's called. Sorry, I'm canceling my application for the blue check thing. Let me just cancel this payment here real quick because you guys made some good points.
It'll just be like Facebook, I think. Like Facebook was a place where everybody left. And the people who didn't leave thought that everyone was still there.
Everyone
just agrees with me all of a sudden. and then just became this weird echo chamber.
And what's going to happen is there's going to be like millennial grandpas that are like, dude, my fucking dad's still on Twitter.
I know.
They're like, what? In the year 2045? Yes, dude. Gets all his fucking news on there.
Oh my God.
That's going to be me.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I'm like, I can't give up these numbers. I'm like, you're just hating, son, because you ain't got these followers.
It's the only social network I still use. And it's like, I'm going to keep doing jokes, man.
Yeah,
that's all it's going to be forever.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk pheromones.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and from one social media network that you can no longer trust to one that I think is pretty much infallible at this point.
Oh, yeah. Fully embrace TikTok.
Hell yeah. So right now, TikTok, in addition to things where they're like, if you see a bag under your car, that means you've been targeted for trafficking. TikTok is full of users praising the benefits of fragrances laced with pheromones. As of this month, the hashtag pheromone perfume has more than 54 million views. And the claims, like, they basically claim, like, pheromones really work. There's one person who claims that, like, their husband tricked them with pheromone.
Oh, shit.
Like, that's the only way, that's the only reason they're married, because he was wearing Please Her. I think it's supposed to be pleasure, a play on that. It's P-L-E-A-S. Oh. And then all caps, H-E-R, cologne, while they were dating. But it's just
what a terrible ad.
Snake oil shit. But this has been a thing people have like thought was real for a long time. But go
this
ahead.
This is what the joke Sex Panther cologne from Anchorman is based off of.
Right.
You know what I mean? The same dated ass thinking. It's like, no, man, there's something in this shit I spray on me that allows a woman to lower their standards rapidly, suddenly. Like, no. But again, I think it's like our idea that of like, you hear some science adjacent thing and you're like, there it is. That's what it fucking was.
I don't have the pheromones. We're all just robots.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think we wrote about on Cracked at one point about people in relationships where a woman, when she met her husband, was on the pill already. She had been taking it for a long time. And then when she got off of it, she was like, I don't like the smell of my husband anymore.
Right.
Where that kind of thing happens, where suddenly whatever odor as a person you were giving off was at one point pleasing to somebody. And then their chemistry changes and you're like, no more. I don't like it anymore.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of these like human behavior studies that suggest pheromones are a real thing. That there's like the one where they smell the underarms of like t-shirts worn by
those pheromone
sex
parties.
And then,
yeah,
it's like a blind test. And then they like meet the people and or they see a picture of the people, and the people they picked when they were just smelling and the people they picked based on photographs like matched up in some weird way. Yeah. I don't know. Like those soft sciences studies, like I've become increasingly skeptical of them. I think I edited that article you're talking about, Soren.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would be as on board with some of the claims in that article as I was at the time, just because it seems like there's, you can really like fudge a lot of it. But
right.
the main argument against pheromones is not that like there's no way that pheromones exist in human population. There's definitely like something going on with smell and like our reaction to smell in like contextual things. It's like one of the best senses at triggering memories and stuff like that. But this is to say that nobody has isolated either how pheromones work or like what the pheromone is that works every time on everyone.
Yeah, you can't synthesize something like that.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, this is the one that it's the golden key. This is the one for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. This is the MSG of scents.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people, you know, that's the profitable thing. So that's the version that's going to get spun out. But in 1991, a company called Aerox wanted to patent the chemicals, two words I'm not going to try to pronounce, and use it in perfume and cologne. And a study was published by two University of Utah psychiatrists about the chemicals. They were on the board of the company trying to make money off of this, though, it turns out.
Love that. Love the disingenuous medical study to, I'm invested in that thing I just took. Never mind.
So disheartening to like know how often that happens. To just know, like, if you dig into any study, you're like, well, who paid for the study? Because they don't just have money. Oh, cool. It's the people who want it to be one very specific outcome. And it was that outcome.
Like the autism vaccine one where the guy basically was developing his own vaccine and was just trying to throw dirt on the other one and be like, and that's why you want mine.
Yeah.
And it's like, you fuck, you just, okay.
Yeah.
Now there, people are parading around.
There's just no evidence, no scientific evidence that wasn't produced by people trying to make money.
Yeah.
That there's no evidence that pheromones are secreted by all men and women.
Yeah.
Which would be the first requirement for a true pheromone, I guess.
I'm getting choked up talking about that. I get it.
I know. So there was a while ago where I got really into vitamins, where I was like, I'm the healthiest person on the planet. I'm invincible. I'm taking everything.
Right.
And I started taking fish oil. And my wife at one point was like, you just smell different. And I was like, do I smell like fish? And she's like, no, it's just different. Like there was something I was like, it was changing something in my chemistry to a
for sure
in the wrong direction, where she was like, I don't know what it is. I just don't like it.
You smell different and stop it?
Yeah. It was like, please don't. Yeah. Please.
And then you stopped taking it and it bounced back?
Yeah.
Old Soren?
Old Soren came shining through when I stopped taking
it. Good old Soren smell.
Yeah. Something was like somehow creeping into my pores from it. And it was grossing her out. And I couldn't smell it, but she could.
So much of like TikTok videos just feel like that first like semester break of your freshman year of college when kids come back from college and like, dude, you know what I fucking learned in my sociology class? And you're like, oh, fuck. You know, like so many videos like, here's a half fact that I'm going to just say really confidently, like pheromones, ever fucking heard of them? And you're like, Jesus, okay, what'd you hear? Because we've been saying this for years. And like, there's so many things like that, like so much content like that, where whether it's like, and this is how you self-diagnose for this entire list of like mental illnesses and things like that, and you're like, this is not how to do any of this. But yeah, that's always has big freshman year of college energy from these like big like sort of
you learn just enough to be dangerous
exactly.
Out in the world
you go on a date and you're like trying to explain like why, you know, it's how hard it is for women these days type shit. Like, I get it, man, we live in a patriarchy.
Yeah, looking at your hand. Yeah. Patriarchy.
It's all smeared. We live in a batriacha. A what? Oh, shit. Just I'm sweating through the date. A based my turkey.
What? Let me get my backpack. My notes are there.
By the way, the pleasure pheromone cocktail is made of the same chemicals as those Utah researchers. Did their research on. So
great.
So they're back for another bite of that apple.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. College shit from the 90s.
Oh, right.
It's all very, it feels like a cousin of aphrodisiacs too, where like people, every once in a while you get these researchers where people are like, no man, oysters make everyone want to fuck. And you're like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, they do. That texture. It's like, wait, it's the texture or there's something in it that you're saying is an aphrodisiac? Who could say no?
Who could say no to the grossest?
It is usually your cousin. You mentioned cousin. It is usually your cousin making those claims.
Yeah. Becca in the chat was saying it does feel very similar to when TikTok was talking about vabbing, which was about dabbing like vaginal secretions on your pulse, like to be like, just to set off my natural.
What?
Yes. Yes. Anyway, don't listen to TikTok ever.
Wow.
Wait a second. I got to get on this. There's what now?
That's horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, what's also interesting, right, too, is like there are all these like really short fixes to the problem that a lot of our like information age is exacerbating, which is our lack of human connection. So like now we're going like all in on weird shit. Like, hey, you just need to start vabbing. You just got to get this pheromone stuff and then you can start like connecting to people again. It's like, I don't know, maybe like this, maybe we need to talk about how isolated we're starting to become and how lonely we're starting to become, because all we're talking about are like the most harebrained schemes on how to just like
connect with other humans
to our humanity.
Yeah. It's like a life hack approach to other humans where it's like just merely dab this on your neck.
Like pickup artistry too. And it's like, bro. Yeah. This is not the way. It's okay. Yeah, sure. Do that. See where that road leads you.
Right. Watch my speed run of human interactions where I go through and have a positive interaction with 9 people.
Oh, man. Right. I met a woman who, this was horrifying. So I met a woman at a work event and she like let me into her system when she goes to network, when she like goes around and talks to people who are also in the industry.
Wait, lets her into your system? What do you mean?
She has a system. She goes around. So when she's at parties, at a party where she feels like a network, she gives a credit or takes a credit. And that means that like she's either getting something from somebody, whether she's talking to them, like they're giving her something. It's information that she's interested in, or it's like they have a job that she's interested in. Like that relationship is going to help her build towards whatever job she wants.
Card counting, one down.
Yeah, and then she also, or if she's in an interaction, like that she's also offering something, that she's giving something. And it's such like a weird way of looking at human communication and just being at a party and talking to people. It's all transactional in her mind.
We are networking.
And she's describing it as like this great breakthrough that she had where she's like, and this is what I do. Like this, I give and I get. Like I take a credit, give a credit. And I'm like, I don't think we should keep talking.
Yeah. All right. What do you give me? What? This is a great event, isn't it? No, me. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I mean, I think it is probably for people who are like understand, like they read things like networking is so important, you know? And like when the people who just do it naturally are just, I think, naturally just curious people. Right. And they're naturally just going to ask people and just have conversations. And yeah, I think for some people, it's like, I really need a very structured way to sort of understand how to do this. Because I think some people just aren't. Yeah, it reminds me of like when I had to sell cars, it's terrible at selling cars because I don't have it in me to like convince somebody to like do some shit that I want them to do. Like in that sense, be like, yo, you really want this Ram, man, with the new Hemi? Dude, Cummins turbo diesel? You fucking love this, dude. You got a boat? Like, I'm just not like a natural salesperson like that, to the point where like I was like the salespeople were like, just try and hit these like fucking benchmarks, man. Like when you're walking through it.
I mean, in a professional setting, I feel like I'll allow it more because that is like a little bit more transactional. If it's like just like meeting people and like how you're interacting with people, that's
a
little dark.
I could see that. But I mean, I've been to events where there's networking happening and everyone sort of agreed that like this is going to be weird and awkward. But it doesn't have to be that weird. Everyone, the way they treat it is rough.
Yeah.
So what do you do immediately, even before you ask a name?
Yeah.
Right.
No, what do you do? I ask first. You're like, can we talk about something else? And they're like, no, what the fuck? What do you do?
Right. By the way, the movie Black Widow, one of the villains like couldn't be killed by Scarlett Johansson because he had a pheromone lock on her, meaning that when he's in smelling range, she can't pull the trigger. So,
yes.
Seems like it'd be easy to get around.
Shield. That's awesome. Yeah.
It is, I think, a scientific mystery because we have like the parts of our body that would be used for pheromone reception. We've just like never found evidence that humans use them or like secrete them. And so It is a scientific mystery, and the way we deal with scientific mysteries is by being like, all right, we'll use it as a villain thing to it's like the internet is Ultron.
Yeah.
pheromones are used to as a body shield, essentially.
Exactly.
Soren, as always, truly a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at Soren_LTD, and you can follow our podcast, listen to our podcast. This is called Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. In fact, you know what? Just stop listening to this right now. Go find it. Go put that one on. It's we've been called the voices of our generation. You'd really enjoy it, I think.
Yeah, I think you would. But don't stop listening to this podcast.
I'm really impressed that you've kept your wig on this entire.
It's not a fucking wig, court. Soren. Not a fucking wig.
We went and is there this. A tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. So it turns out it's a little older than I thought, but it's, you guys know who Ariel Dumas is? She recently went through and started collecting all these tweets that she thought were great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you know Colin Crawford? He used to write for The Onion and he's worked on MODOK. He's got one that she found that really made me laugh out loud. It says, "Me and my friends would have killed E.T. with hammers. I can tell you that much."
Yeah, I had that one too. That one's so good. Yeah, when I look at what I was like at that age, I was no Elliot. I can tell you that much. I would not have been standing up to my older relatives being like, "Stop, be nice to everything."
Yeah. Virtue was not my chief characteristic when I was that age.
Yeah, I had to build that up. Miles, where can people find you? What is the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also on the Basketball Podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. New episode coming out Thursday. And then also Sophia Alexandra and I talk 90 Day Fiancé on the other show, 420 Day Fiancé. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Zach Fox at Zach Fox tweeted, "Nobody's going to pay to be verified, but I would definitely pay to have a dual feature where petty arguments get solved in a public roast where we can vote on who won and the loser gets their shit deleted permanently." I like that. And then another one, Sydney Battle at Sydney Battle tweeted, the animal sanctuary account I follow just made a post about how one of the elephants had a quote, "I didn't know I was pregnant" type delivery that was so shocking that when the baby just dropped out onto the ground, the other elephants ran away screaming. I can already see it.
That's amazing. Hopefully someone got that on video for the sake of the internet. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Mike Scollins tweeted, "If Freddy Krueger can really enter dreams, he must be very sick of watching me dunk." And Henrik Blix tweeted, "I don't usually brag on here, but I just got an email saying I have," and I quote, "an outstanding medical bill." You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. I've been annoying Her Majesty by just yelling the chorus to the Lil Yachty song Poland over and over. So if you want to hear what's just become like the meme chorus of the year in a rap song, check out Lil Yachty's new track, Poland. Because I took the walk to Poland. All right. Anyway, I'm immature. Thank you so much for that. Blast that out your car.
Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.